Stand with me this morning while we pray again. Our righteous Heavenly Father, we pause before you this moment again as we look into your word. We pray, Father, that you would minister to our hearts today. We thank you for this time and for the edification we've had thus far. And we pray that your presence will be with us continually and that you'd touch our hearts, that each one would be here, would be ministered to in your way, for your glory, for your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Turn it on, huh? That sound better? Okay, we greet you in the precious name of Jesus, and we trust that the Lord will continue to minister to us. We thank you for the declaring him this morning. It was a blessing to be here to share in that blessing today. This morning we want to share a few thoughts about the gospel of the kingdom. First of all, I want to read a few verses in Daniel chapter 2, a few thoughts where on the subject of the kingdom of God. And this picture here is one of my favorites in the Bible as far as the description of the kingdom of God. And in Daniel chapter 2, the dream that the king had of the image of the nations. Let's just read verse 31, beginning in verse 31. Here it says, "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. And this great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his sides of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. And thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them in pieces. Then was the iron and the clay and the brass and the silver and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." Then I want to drop down to verse 44 and 45. "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream was certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure." I like this picture of the kingdom of God. It's the stone that was cut out of the mountain. It said it will be come a great mountain, and it will become bigger and bigger, and it will fill the whole earth. It will be a progressive kingdom, something that will continue to grow and become bigger and more as time goes on. I know sometimes we look at the church, we look at conditions of the world, and we think, well, things are becoming, the truth is becoming scarce, it's becoming less and less, and there's just, you know, that things are getting worse and worse, and we can have a negative thought about God's work here on the earth, that everything's sort of becoming less, so the next thing there won't be hardly anything here till Jesus comes. But I believe the contrary is that there is, the kingdom of God is going forward in the world today. I believe the gospel of Jesus is having its effect in the world today, and I believe that God is alive and well, and we don't have to fear that His kingdom is going to be obsolete or destroyed, because it is an everlasting kingdom and it's going to endure through all time and all eternity, and it's going to become greater and greater, and it's going to fill the whole earth. And this great kingdom is what we want to talk about this morning, and the message of that kingdom, the message of this gospel, the message of this kingdom is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe what Daniel saw here was the kingdoms that were came and went and came and went in the, throughout the Old Testament, and God working with His people. Then Jesus came on the scene, as we studied about in Sunday school this morning, where Jesus came on the scene to initiate, to bring in the kingdom, an everlasting kingdom, a kingdom that will stand through all time and eternity, a kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It is the victorious kingdom. It is the kingdom that will endure, the kingdom that will stand, it will never be destroyed, just like it says here. And it's going to cause all the other chaffs, all the other kingdoms to be as a chaff of the summer thrashing floor, which the wind gathereth and taketh away. They're not going to stand. They're not going to be in sight in comparison to the kingdom of God, which is going to stand. It's going to endure. It's going to thrive. It's going to continue throughout time and into eternity. Now, thinking about the gospel of the kingdom, I believe we talk about the gospel. What are we talking about when we talk about the gospel? What's the gospel mean to you? What is the gospel? Good news. That's right. The good news of the kingdom. I believe that's what Jesus brought. Jesus brought good news of a new kingdom, a kingdom He introduced, a kingdom that we're talking about this morning. And I believe it is, we talk about the Gospels, our Sunday school starting in Matthew. Then we always talk about Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John are the four Gospels. And the Gospels contain the message of Jesus Christ. It's the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. It was His birth, His life, His love, His ministry, His healings, and His caring for people, and His reaching out and touching many, many lives while He was here. And it was the rejection and the sufferings and the crucifixion, the blood that was shed on Calvary, the redemption, the atonement that was made for our sins, and His death and His resurrection and His ascension, that door that was opened so that we can enter into the kingdom of God. That's how the kingdom of God was established here on the earth, through Christ in His life, His death, His resurrection, and the forgiveness of sins, adopting us into the family of God and making us a child of God through the life and death and resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus. He's now on the right hand of God interceding for us. This is the message that is, it's like it says here, that the interpretation, it says that it is sure, it is solid, it's sure, it cannot go wrong. It's something that is secure, something that we can believe in, we can experience, and it has a genuine effect on our lives today. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul talks a lot about the gospel. There's different illustration here. He talks about the gospel, and we want to look at some of these statements that Paul makes here in Philippians chapter 1. I don't know. Maybe we'll
just read through the chapter. It's just 30 verses here. I think I'll read this chapter. It's a beautiful chapter. Paul writing to the Philippian church there. Paul and Timotheus, a servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel, from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even that is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. Ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, some of goodwill. One preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, it is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all in your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he so saw in me and now here to be in me. Here we see in verse 5, 4 and 5, it says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. We see this is the basis of our fellowship. This is the reason for our coming together, for our life, and for, it says, for the fellowship of the gospel. It's that which it's where we find our oneness. It's the one thing that we have in common as Christians. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's that thing that gives us something in common. It's that thing that draws us together. It's that thing that makes us brothers and sisters. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have one common interest. We have one common goal. That is Jesus. That's why we're here this morning at rest. That we have the gospel of Jesus Christ is our commonness. It's our goal. It's our oneness. It's our fellowship. That's where we fellowship around. And I trust this morning that That's our reason for coming here, that we come to fellowship around the message of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus, the influence of Jesus Christ in our life. That is the heart. That's what Christianity is all about. That's what church is all. That's what life is all about. That's what our heart. That's what should turn us on more than anything else. Is simply the message and the influence of Jesus Christ, that which He has provided, what He has made available for us, that we have access to God, that we have access into the Holy of Holies, we have access into heaven, that we have the promises of God, we have the reality of God in our life, we have the influence of God in His Holy Spirit. And through this, we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship in the gospel. In verse 7, it says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. We have the confirmation of the gospel. What is the confirmation of the gospel? I believe the confirmation, what confirms, what proves to you that the gospel works? What confirms to you that the gospel is real? I believe number one would be the love that God puts into our heart. The love that God puts into His people for the truth and for one another and for all mankind. And I believe this is what happens in our heart whenever we believe the gospel. That is what confirms the gospel. And we see that taking place not only in our heart, but in our brothers and sisters. When we see someone that comes to Christ and receive the gospel message, we see that change that takes place. We see what God does in their heart. And that I believe is part of the confirmation of the gospel. It proves that the gospel is real, the gospel is true, the gospel works. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it's alive and it works and it's real today. And it talks here about, in the next couple of verses, it says about the approving things that are excellent. That we approve things that are excellent. I believe God's people have that sense of discernment, of discerning right and wrong, and discerning what is excellent. We have that spirit of discernment. God, through the influence of the gospel in our lives, it gives us, we have good judgment and knowing what's right and what's wrong. God gives direction in our lives, and He gives us discernment that we can know how to approve things that are excellent, and whether things are pleasing to God and things that are not pleasing to God. And it also talks about being sincere and without offense. This is a characteristic of the gospel. Those that have received the gospel, and that which is a confirmation of the gospel. When we see those that are sincere about their life and they walk a life that is pleasing to God, that which is sincere and without offense and filled with the fruits of righteousness is another one. I believe these are things that are evidence of the gospel of Christ. These are things that are confirmation of the gospel. When we see these things taking place in the life of an individual, we know that something has happened. We know something has changed. We know that God is there. We know that the fear of God is in the heart, and that there's a change that's taken place. The influence of the gospel has It proves that the gospel works. The gospel is real. That's a blessing to me to know that we can see and we can know that the message of Jesus Christ is not a hoax, because it works. It's real. It happens. It takes place. And the Spirit of God is one Spirit, and it leads men in one direction, in righteousness and peace in the Holy Ghost. Then in verse 12, it talks about the furtherance of the gospel. Says, I would have you understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. This is a blessing. Think of our life. I know Paul, he's saying, Paul went through a lot of things, a lot of difficult things. And it seemed like all the things that these things that happened to him were just opportunities to spread the gospel some more. It was, I believe this is what he's saying, that these things that happened to him just gave him more opportunity to spread the gospel and to exercise the gospel and to be an influence for the gospel. The testimony of had more opportunity to share his testimony and to let the word of God spread. That's many times through opposition. Opposition usually brings opportunity, just like persecution brings it's fuel for the gospel. Persecution is a fuel for the gospel. It brings more opportunity and it spreads the gospel. The more they try to tramp it out, the more it will spread. I believe that's the furtherance of the gospel that Paul was talking about here. The things that happened to him, the more they tried to put it down, the more it would spread around. That's a beautiful thing about the gospel. And today, you know, people have tried to stomp it out for many, many years, but the gospel of Jesus is still alive and well and going strong today. And we don't need to fear that it's going to be stamped out. In verse 17, Paul talks about verse 17. He says, it talks about the defense of the gospel. He says, does one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel? And I believe that should be the heart of every one of us today, that we are set for the defense of the gospel, that we have a boldness about the gospel. I believe he talks here about boldness in the next verse. He talks about being bold and not being ashamed. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, I am nothing. In nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. I believe this is for the defense of the gospel, that we have a boldness about the gospel. We're not ashamed of the gospel, but we are out to magnify the gospel, that we're out to spread the gospel and make it clearer and brighter. So it says that about magnifying it. I believe that the magnifying the gospel of Christ is what happens when we stand up for it, and we're not intimidated, we're not ashamed, we're bold, and we're willing to speak out, and we're willing to stand up for what is right, and we're not. I believe that's where Paul was here as he was. He was talking about the things that he was going through, and he was not intimidated by people that tried to stand up against him, but he stood for what was true, and he shared the gospel regardless where he was, regardless who it was. He defended the gospel and stood for what was right, and I believe that's the calling for us today. And also, in this verse it says, and let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. This is the life change, the transformation of our life, that the life that we live, but we have a life that is changed into the character of Jesus Christ. We have the fear of God in our heart. Our conversation is, it's how we live and how we walk. We have a fear of God in our heart. We can't just go out and live a careless life, but we walk according as we see that, as someone said this morning about, there's a desire to please God. We have our will and desire is to do the will of God. We have in our hearts a love for all mankind. And there's a pursuit after God, a pursuit for holiness, a desire to experience more of God, to experience that the likeness of God, and to be like God, and to walk with God, and to fear God, and to, we have that passion for holiness and righteousness. And we also have a passion for the lost, I believe. Whenever our conversation is that which becometh the gospel, there's a passion for those that are lost. We have a heart to reach out and minister and to be active in the work of God and to let our light shine and to share the message with those around us. And I believe our life will be an example of honesty and integrity and walking with God and being a blessing to those that we are in touch with. This is beautiful. Then it says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. This is in verse 27, I believe. It says, yeah, that's in the same verse. Then with striving together for the faith of the gospel. I believe the faith of the gospel. I believe the gospel is a strengthening. It is a sure and steadfast. It's tried and true. It's solid. It's something that is strong. It's unchanging. It's an eternal gospel. It's never going to change. It's something that's been tried through and true for many years, many generations. Many saints have walked in this way and have proven the way of the gospel as a true and a living way. And I believe this, the truth of the gospel, it's the word of God. It's in our love for God and for His word, becomes a part of our life. It becomes our everyday life that we live by, that we walk by, that our whole life consists of. And I'm trusting that can be our experience, each one of us. The truth of the gospel. See, I was looking, okay, in Colossians chapter 1, there was a couple verses I wanted to look at. That's actually in chapter 1, verse 5, where it talks about the truth of the gospel. It says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before the word of God and the truth of the gospel. And also another one in Colossians 1:23, it says, ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature was under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. I believe that's a beautiful verse there. I wanted to read another, let's see, 21. I want to read a couple other verses here too. Let me read that over again. So, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind. This is the message, the influence of the gospel here. It says that you that were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. I think that's a beautiful message right there, the testimony of the influence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were all alienated from God. We were all sinners. We were all far from God. But in Christ, by the message of the gospel, we have been brought into Christ and we have been redeemed. We have been changed. We have been united with Him. This is the whole nutshell of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is beautiful to see what God has done and what God can do with a life that comes to Him and receives the gospel, the simple message of salvation, the simplicity of the gospel. It's not something that's complicated and hard. It's a very simple message. It's a very simple and easy to understand as we come to God in our brokenness, and by faith we receive the message and receive the influence of God in our life. It's a beautiful work that God can do in transforming our lives and making us into His image through His influence. as we open our hearts to God and allow His presence to influence our lives and to penetrate our hearts and to make us what He wants us to be. And this is the beautiful thing that I see about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I trust that every one of us this morning have opened our hearts and are allowing Christ to dwell within and to transform us and to make us into His image in His way and for His purposes. This morning, thinking of the gospel and the work of the gospel going forth in our world today. Sometimes we, like I say, we think that maybe it's not, there's not much happening anymore. There's just not a whole lot. We're in the last days and we hear a lot of bad things about what's going on in the world around us. And there's something of the furtherance of the gospel. It is still going forward. The gospel is still alive and well, and it's touching lives in the world around us today. Brother James is going to share something here on the screen here of what is happening in the world with the gospel. Going out over the internet around the world. We talk about the internet and all the negative influences that it has in the world today, but there are those today that are using the internet to spread the gospel in all over the world, and people are becoming saved, many. And I don't know this organization specifically, but it's amazing to see what's happening in this ministry. I think we'll just move the pulpit away here and one more time and let Brother James put this up here on the wall a little bit, and we'll talk about this if he. This ministry has a website that goes out over the world in many, many languages. It's called the Great Commission 2020. And I don't know how this all works at all, but you see these little lights flashing on these world map. This world map, you see, there's Africa, South America, North America, Asia, Europe, all these countries. Everywhere you see a blue light flashing, somebody somewhere, for some reason, is seeking answers. They're searching for truth. And they're going on the website. This is not a recording. This is happening right now at 11:20 today. Every time somebody clicks on that website, that little blue light shines up there. You see those little blue lights? It has the location where this is all taking place. You see it in Africa, you see it there in Europe, you see it over there around the Middle East, you see it all over the world. People are clicking onto this website and they get to presented, the gospel is presented to them in written form, it's presented to them in video, teaching, preaching, and I don't know. I don't think somebody would necessarily just bump into a website like that without wanting to find an answer. I believe this is evidence of the hunger that's in the world today. People are looking and searching and seeking for answers. They're seeking for Christ. They're seeking for that void, to satisfy that void in their life. And they're going on the website trying to find answers for themselves. Every once in a while, you're going to see a red light flash. Most of them are, there's a red one right there. That red one is an indication that somebody is saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. That looks like it would be up there in Russia somewhere. Every time that red, there's one in Africa. That's a decision. Somebody indicates on that site that they have made the decision that they're going to follow Jesus. And once in a while, you're going to see a little green one. And a green one is an indication that they have signed up for a discipleship class. And I don't know what all the discipleship, what their teachings are, but I do know that one thing they do, they will connect them with other Christians in their area. So this is something that people are doing in their homes, on their computers, on their cell phones or whatever. And they're being presented the gospel. They're responding to the gospel. They're signing up for discipleship classes. And they're being connected with other Christians in their community as close as they can. I think it's a tremendous, amazing ministry that's taking place. And these numbers down here, every night at midnight, they turn to zero. Those 365,000 visits were since midnight this morning. Those 29,000 decisions to follow Christ were since midnight. Last night I looked at it about 11 o'clock, and that number over there was about 650,000 people visited it, and I think there was 55,000 people indicated their decision to follow Jesus yesterday. And that's amazing there that there's more people signed up for discipleship. That's the first I saw that. I've looked at it different times. This number is usually a lot lower. There's almost 40,000 people signed up for discipleship on that today. Which, that's amazing. But this is not people that are being solicited or pressured to do this. This is people that in their own private homes and in their own hearts, they're searching and they're seeking and they're deciding to follow Christ and they're reaching out for teaching and instruction from the Word of God all over the world. There's one thing that is really boggles my mind. How many lights do you see flashing over here in the United States? Not very many. Once in a while. There's not too much in Russia. Not too much. Now, I heard that even over in China, they said Google is outlawed. Restricted or something. And you don't see much in the China area. But over here through what amazed me, sometimes you watch it seemed like right here around the Middle East, where all the Muslim countries where Christianity is outlawed, it flashing in there all the time. Where the more the persecution is, the more the people are searching and seeking. Now over here where we have it easy and we have Bibles and we have churches, and they don't seem to have that drive to find out about it. But I just wanted to share this with the thought of the influence of the gospel in the world today. It's going out and it's affecting lives, and people are responding to it, and people are seeking God from every tribe and nation. And I don't think we have something that nobody else has. And we don't want to crawl into a cave like Elijah did and think that we're the only ones around that have anything anymore. Because the gospel is still affecting many lives, many places around the world. This has been very, very exciting to me to watch this and see what's going on. But I don't know who these people are. I don't know where they're from. I don't know if they're from our country or I don't know where they're from. It's a global outreach, mission. So this morning, you know, this is that rock that was hewn out of the mountain that's going down through the kingdoms of the world. And it's changing lives. And it's going to stand and it's going to grow and it's going to become a great mountain and fill the whole earth. The goal of this organization, they call it Great Commission 2020. By 2020, they want to have reached between 11 and 12 billion souls. That's their goal by the next 5 years, is to reach, to be able to have reached between 11 and 12 billion people. I don't know how many people is in the world, but that's a lot. Is that about it? Huh? How many?
Seven.
But there's always people dying and people coming back. Yeah. So that's all I have to share. I'll just turn it over to James and let him close the service.
Test, 1, 2, 3, test. Okay, I wanted to show you a little bit more since we're on this subject. Maybe I'll say this first. I think that traditionally the conservative Mennonite Anabaptist groups have shied away from technology. How many of you remember Jim Petrosky when he was here?